don't you understand, Fuzz? That's the future the liberals want.
Flavor is for cocks.
Flavor cocks. Touch it.
Touch it.
Give mind to things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And this is Notcast, episode 342, right? I think so.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know. Let me call a friend. In any event, I'm Saverin. And it has been another week here in the political nightmare that is North America. Well, particularly United States. They're not terribly united. But, you know what? We're going to keep it a little light on the politics this week. We got a half dozen emails. We do have a list of things. Buzz, you're checking to make sure that it is episode 342?
It is.
Okay, good. So
based on Google Play's podcast.
And Google
app.
Play is up to date.
Yes.
And so too is iTunes.
We called an episode Lesbian Moms the Anime?
Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Remember I talked about Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid?
Could have been like any of the last dozen episodes.
Yeah. It was Lesbian Moms the Anime because I fat fingered the title when typing it up on the file.
Oh, okay.
But so for this week's political beat, here, you ready for it? There's more Russians than Americans in the executive branch, pretty much. That's pretty much it. That's the big revelation.
There's more black people in Beyonce than in the executive branch.
True.
Branch.
Because she's having twins.
Yep.
And they got one.
Ben Carson.
Yep. So that and the totally not horrifically named voice, like literally, you didn't hear about that?
I know an editor named Voice.
No, this is
the fact that he's a spider wolf, making him like three different animals is kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that is terrible. But no, the voice being the name of victims of immigrant violence or whatever, it's basically the naming and shaming of any and all immigrant violence.
But it's the new government agency he wants to create, which the Democrats are like, that's fucked up. And the Republicans are like, we're a small government. Why are you creating another agency?
Well, they're going to take out two so they can put in the new one, right? They're going to kill the EPA and the national everything unrelated to bombs and killing brown people.
Yeah.
But the thing is, because of the way that they have worded it, is like, you, if you committed a crime, would be put on the list.
Oh.
You're a resident alien.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, you're not brown, so they wouldn't, you know, fling you over the wall.
And I will not get a tan.
Nope. It's a nightmare, awful scenario, but...
You know, it's pretty fucked up. Like, I saw another thing, and I don't know how true it was, whether they were just like... Because... Immigrant, like basically Mexicans aren't coming into the country in as the amount of immigration from Mexico has dropped substantially. We still get some, but not as many as we used to because Mexico's economy is doing better than it used to. But there are a lot of South American countries that are not doing as well as Mexico is. And we're getting a lot of immigrants from those countries that just pass through Mexico to get. Into the U.S. And even though they might have originally emigrated from like Venezuela or something like that, the U.S. is just dumping them all back in Mexico.
And Mexico's getting to the point like, they're not ours.
Right. Yeah. And they're like, well, your problem now, Mexico.
They're like, no, they're not. Then the people that are actually getting deported are like, no, es bueno.
Yeah. So. It's a weird situation.
Lots of weird, heartless bullshit.
So I'm not sure what they'd do with me if they'd just be like, oh, we're just going to dump you in Mexico. But I'm Scottish. You're like, we don't care. That Mexico's the nearest border, so we're just going to dump you in Mexico.
If you have an Australian map, you're Britain's Mexico. I don't know, man. I don't know. So
no,
that's
Wales. Wales is the Mexico of Britain.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's kind of really like, you know, you have to keep up with the politics. It's all horrible, but it's all, you know, this week's been like, boy, howdy, there sure are a lot of Russian traitors in our government right now. Impressive. Let's string them all up and start over.
Kylo has not stopped yelling traitor.
Nope. So, moving on to non-political things.
Yes.
So we've tried those Peep Oreos.
Yes.
They're Oreos. They're pink.
Yeah.
They taste like Oreos, except I think, and this is just because I don't get Oreos a lot, they added a little bit of extra granulated sugar to the mix, mm-hmm. so you get a little bit more of the grittiness like you get from a Peep.
I didn't really notice that. But
that's, I could be wrong. I don't eat, we don't normally buy Oreos.
Yeah, I haven't really had them in ages. They tasted pretty Oreo-like. Yeah,
they're pretty damn Oreo. Like, Panther really liked the lemon Oreos. Mm-hmm. Those were good. And I bought some of the pumpkin spice ones. The ones that had the
vanilla?
No, they were vanilla cookie with lemon
filling. That's what I meant, vanilla cookie. Yeah, those were good. It's been a long time since I've had them.
The pumpkin spice ones were tasty. But we stayed away from the Swedish fish ones or the watermelon ones or any of the really weird ones.
One of Tieran's gaming group brought over one of the Swedish fish packs one night, and I didn't try them. They all tried them and said they were really nasty.
Okay.
So I was like, okay. I
mean, Swedish fish, they're not good in their normal, natural gummy form.
Yeah, so I don't they're not think really they're... a candy I've ever really gotten into. So.
But needless to say, my thing is I'm looking forward to the day after Easter when I can get shitloads of Peeps for a quarter a package, and then eat all of them.
There's a, I don't know if you've ever seen it, there's a retail comic. Have you ever read retail comic?
I think so.
Where, like, a lady walks in, and she's like, how much for that box of Peeps? And she's like, well, that's a whole case of Peeps. Like, yes, I know that. No, I don't think you understand. There's, like, six Peeps to a pack, and there's X number of packs per case. And the lady says, yes, I realize I'm ordering 1,173 individual Peeps. And the retailer's just like, okay. And the lady walks out with this, like, box of Peeps, like, the size of that fucking case.
Like, last year, after Easter, I picked up, like, I think 8 or 9 different flavors of Peeps and did a video of them.
I've never really had a hard on for Peeps really like that, you know?
Well, it's not a hard on, it's just like, A, they're doing them in different flavors now.
Okay.
And B, they're cheap.
Mm.
And I think they're fine. But then again, my standards are fairly low when it comes to confectionery. I like food and candy and sweets. That's why I was so fat for a while. So
just fucking pour baking sugar into your into your mouth.
So go to the pantry there, get the half empty thing of baking chocolate chips and just
go sit in go sit in a sauna, be like, I'm baking my cookies. Yes.
I'm the cookie. Put the dough.
Can't
in
you
me.
See how doughy I am?
But yeah, I'll probably do the same thing. It's like I did the pumpkining video with Tesser a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Where he got the gift card.
Oh, and he brought all the pumpkin spice stuff, right?
Pumpkin spice chips, pumpkin spice cookies, pumpkin spice salsa, pumpkin spice everything.
Pumpkin spice condoms.
It's like 24 minutes or something like that. It's an old video. It's still up on YouTube, though.
Yeah.
Other than that, so the only really, like, mega furry thing right now is that Rainforest is officially kill.
Yeah, so, like, I saw a lot of people on Twitter were like, wait, didn't that die a year ago? And, like, so basically what happened is, like, yeah, 2015's con happened. They canceled 2016's con because of that, and they've actually been spending the last year trying to find a venue to have 2017 and hoping that by taking a year off, that they could basically, I don't know, mend some fences with the hotel industry in the Seattle area and find a place. And apparently that had been unsuccessful. So they've now officially announced that Rainforest is no more. So they're not maintaining that overture of we're going to try to do this again in a year like they were before. So, you know, rest in peace, Rainforest. You know, it's honestly, I think it's a real pity. because I really enjoyed the times I went as a writing con, and I enjoyed seeing a lot of the writers and go to the panels, and they treated the writers really well. But, you know, like we talked about before, my con experience was apparently completely different than other people's con experience. Some people treated it as a party con, you know, and some people were a bit damaging to the property and other things. So.
And it didn't help that through the magic of social media, people took some photos of very unflattering things that occurred.
Yeah.
And spread it far and far and far and wide.
Yeah, those are never going away.
It's the, oh, Jesus.
Basically, I mean, the name's so sullied at this point that I'm like, even if that same group wants to do another con in that state, I wouldn't use the term rainforest, you know, as perfect as it is for the area. But, yeah.
And it sucks because basically it's a group of bad eggs fucked it up. And it, you know, this is, we beat this to death back when it occurred, but it's still one of those things that conventions are crazy fucking hard amounts of work.
Yeah.
By a lot of people, and it's a concentrated multi-year effort, and the fact that it does fall on the con org to knock that shit off. Like, if they know it's happening, it's up to them to stop it, because, as we can see, like, this was multiple years of poor behavior kind of culminating in the con and the local hotel industry going, yeah, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And that con's gone. That community is now short one event. I mean, there's tons and tons of conventions, but now there's not a furry con in Washington State, I don't think. Which is weird when you think about it, because there's one for everybody else.
Well, I mean, no, there's at least two other cons that are trying. There's one in 2017, and there's one scheduled for the beginning of 2018. There's one called Anthro Northwest, which is scheduled for later this year. Which seems a little odd. They're doing the really ridiculous thing of, like, not calling it a furry con. Like, all of their media and marketing specifically goes out of the way to never drop the F word, meaning furry in this case. They're like, it's
furry.
It's for the anthropomorphic community. And it's like, there is no anthropomorphic community. There's a furry community, and then there's people that aren't furries.
A furry, but in their fur affinity profiles.
Yeah, that's basically, this is the con for the I'm not a furry, but. And
I'm not a furry, but.
I have a furry, but. So I'm like, I'm not really, I mean, the last time a con tried to do that kind of advertising approach, they suffered anemic growth for 10 years until they dropped the pretense and called themselves a furry con. So I'm not sure how this is going to go. The other one's called Furvana, and that is, I feel like it's in January, but I'm not 100% sure of that. January would be really bad because FC is on that coast in January. But it's sometime in 2018. And I think they're going with the more traditional furry con route. Okay. I haven't seen as much advertising from them as from Anthro Northwest, but their con is further out. So hopefully they're getting all of their ducks in a row beforehand. But yeah, so there's a couple different groups that are going to try to do a first year con up there.
That's good. I wasn't aware of it. But the thing is, there's so many furry cons around the country now. It's kind of like, there's going to be one in your neighborhood. You know, taco trucks in every corner, furry cons in every town. Only a matter of time.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm still looking forward to this little two-day one down in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to that?
When is it?
October. Oh. I don't know.
Probably not. Unless it's like just a day trip and I go with you.
Yeah, well, I'll be down there both days because I'm going to deal there. But let's see. It is Furry Invasion San Antonio. It's the beginning of October, the 7th and the 8th. That's Saturday and Sunday. So it's Columbus Day weekend. So, just as an FYI. Let me see if I can figure out when that other con is. I'd have to look it up on WikiFur. Go ahead, talk about something else, Aaron.
So Kinokuniya Books had its grand opening event here this last weekend. Kinokuniya Books is a Japanese book chain that specializes, well, it's a Japanese book chain, and they have stores in the U.S. and in Japan and in Hong Kong and one in Dubai, which is odd, but, you know, whatever works. And it is a Japanese-ass Japanese bookstore, meaning they have books from Japan for Japanese audiences. In this particular case, they're split 70-30 in favor of English, but they have just a little bit of everything. But it was nice because Akon, being the, you know, big daddy anime convention around here, they partnered up and had a booth out, and they helped sponsor some of the grand opening stuff. They had the mayor of Carrollton there, and then cosplayers and whatnot. One of the really nice things about the this is actually made a post on my Tumblr, is like, you know, people are like, oh, immigrants coming in and revitalizing areas and enriching the local culture, right? So here in Carrollton,
we've talked about this
and nothing but favorable things. So Kinokuniya Books is just one more good thing that the local Asian immigrant community has brought in and revitalized what was once a dead ass shopping center. Previously, the only thing in it was a Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
And then the Hobby Lobby left. And then Daiso came in. Daiso, for those of you on the West Coast, and I think also on the East, some larger cities, is a Japanese 100 yen store. It's a dollar store. But it's Japanese goods and stuff like that. And it's $1.50 base because they got to put it on a boat and bring it over. But they have...
So I was wrong. Fervana doesn't appear to have actually put a date out yet.
Okay.
It's just coming 2018. So
this little shopping center, there's now like an Asian bakery. There's like two little dessert cafes. They're getting a Japanese dessert crepe place, which I am dying to try. It's not open yet, though. Like, I want to spend a day and just go be fat. I gave up that life.
When I know, you gave right? up your stomach.
That's true. I'll have to like make it a literal full day because there's a crepe place. There's a couple dessert cafes. There's a boba tea place. There's the Japanese bakery. Then there's also the Kinokuniya, which has like they have anime goods stuff. They had all the Pusheen plushes you could ever want. All of the Neko Atsume plush. They had the Giga Pusheen, which is like a floor, like a giant floor pillow Pusheen cat that was $400.
Fuck, wow.
They had super high-end Japanese calligraphy fountain pens and the ink for it. Mm-hmm. They had art books for every anime fucking series ever. They had a small selection of toys. It is primarily a bookstore, but kind of like how Barnes & Noble has some toy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So too do they. They had a big section of everything Studio Ghibli. So like, if do you want every single Studio Ghibli film on Blu-ray, they got you. Do you want a bank that is Cat Bus? They got you. Do you want Howl's Moving Castle as a like desk calendar with, you know, little rotating date cubes and whatnot, like day of the week cubes and whatever? They're not really cubes because they're 7 days a week, but you know what I mean. No, that would be right. What am I thinking? Anyways,
I don't know what you're...
Just ignore me!
Okay.
It is super fucking cool. So if you're in Carrollton, so like if you're in town for a fiesta, you should probably get some friends and go up there. Like Anime Pop still has a lot more of the core toy merch.
Yeah.
But Kinokuniya has a lot of the paper goods stuff. And they had art books. I thought of a friend of mine, she's a colorist that's really big into Bloodborne and Fire Emblem, specifically Lucina from the most recent Fire Emblem, I think it was Fates. Not the most recent Fire Emblem, but the one before that. And on the adjacent shelves, there was the Bloodborne art book and then two separate Fire Emblem books, one of which had Lucina on the cover. And I'm like, click, thinking of you. And it's really cool. So if you like Asian culture, Asian books and whatnot, and it's not just anime bullshit, they got cookbooks and culture books and... They had an entire 4 foot by 6 foot tall shelf of Boys Love Yaoi light novels and manga.
Oh.
It was in the corner. Like, if you walk straight back from the door, there's a shelf. It is nothing but Yaoi novels. Like, fucking cool.
Oh, yeah.
They also had the Japanese edition of the Sherlock books, the most recent ones that are like adaptations of the show, and they have anime Benedict Cumberbatch on the front.
Oh my god, that must be cute.
Yeah, and again, it's super fucking cool, and it's great that these things are coming to the area.
Yeah,
there's another one.
That's why I love Dallas. Like we have it's a growing area, and we have all this cool shit here.
Yeah, and that whole section of Carrollton is fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, all the food, all the cool stores.
All the food I can't eat.
Yeah. Well, and, like, you even got, like, you have the more Middle Eastern Arab Muslim area over in Richardson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We got Jasmine's and all that other shit that's really delicious, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And that stuff I can't eat, so.
Yeah. It's just, we're very, you know, despite everyone's like, oh, it's fucking Texas. Like, no, this is Dallas. And
yeah.
Everybody has their little section in town. And they're all pretty fucking good.
Yep, yep.
So
there's a couple little Korea areas.
Yeah. Too.
There's little Mexican corners everywhere.
It's like here at Josie and Beltline is kind of a little Mexican
area. Yeah, it's where the La Fiesta is over there, I think.
And there's a couple good restaurants right around there. And
yeah.
But like even here in Addison, there's a Peruvian joint.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's two Peruvian joints here within like a few miles of here. How fucking crazy is that? Peruvian? Who would have thought, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
But it's like one right there on Beltline, just a little bit east of Marsh, and then one up by the Petco I used to work at.
Huh.
So other than that, you know, just gushing about food and how immigrants are pretty fucking great, right?
Yeah, if you're a foodie, Dallas and particularly Addison are definitely places to check. Actually, Addison does a lot of chain middle of the road kind of food. A lot of the other,
but it does have a lot of independent stuff, like small chain as well.
But there's a lot of the cooler stuff is other than Beltline Road as well.
Yeah,
Beltline Road is just like the biggest collection all together.
Yeah. But I mean,
biggest hell, cluster.
You can even like one of the best vegan restaurants in the area is right here in Addison.
Loving Hut.
It's pretty good.
What's it called?
Loving Hut. It's actually run by some weird Southeast Asian cult, the people that run the Shin Yun stuff. It's some Southeast Asian religious cult group that also, like, they're one of their tenets is veganism, and they make some damn good food. Don't give a shit about their religion, but they make tasty food. But it's heavily soy-based, so you can't go there.
Oh, right. I didn't put my phone on quiet mode.
You fucker!
Yeah.
So, speaking of Asian stuff and food... Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid continues to be adorable. Do not lose
you and your Dragon Maid.
Dragon Maids, ah! It is the cutest. It is right up there with Little Witch as my favorite anime of the season. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of sad because I'm only watching four shows this season, and there's a very clear hierarchy. Like Little Witch Academia is like up there with all time great cartoons in terms of like its like super. It is a fantastic show regardless of its genesis. And then you have Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, which is really great anime, but super, super cute and adorable. And, you know, a family can totally be a programmer, her super lesbian dragon maid, and their adopted dragon daughter. And then there's Interviews with Monster Girls, which is just middle of the fucking road, kind of don't know if I want to continue watching it, but...
Which Monster Girls?
It's one? Called Interview with Monster Girls.
I think I remember you mentioning this.
It is not Monster Musume. This is
right.
Basically, it's taking the researcher. The main character is this big bearish older guy who's a PhD student who's literally doing a thesis paper on these monster girls that exist in the world.
Yeah,
demi-humans they referred to. There's like a vampire girl. There's a Dillahan. There's a Ononoko Snow Woman who's. Basically,
I was just thinking they're called Demi Humans. I'm like, okay, I may have this tail of a scorpion, but I'm not a monster girl. Just sort of like the whole not a furry thing.
Yeah. But it's presented in a way, generally, like he's just interested. He's writing a paper and trying to be a good teacher, but also trying to treat them fairly and make sure that the other students treat them well.
Mm-hmm.
It can be seen as like a metaphor for a teacher taking special care of LGBT students in a way.
Right.
Okay. Though not nearly as nuanced. But the show itself also has like the girls all have crushes on the guy. And it's kind of like, you're like 15, kid. I know having a crush on the big burly teacher is kind of a thing. But like the teacher itself keeps it very professional.
He's just
hand on the forehead, shove backward. You know, not quite like that, but That'd be and then funny, there's though. Tanya the Evil, which is lol Nazi witches. It's I don't think it's very good. Mm-hmm. But it's also the one where God's a dick.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, you told me about that.
Where it's mega atheist gets mega atheist douchebag dickhead callously fires a guy. That guy follows him back to the train station, then shoves his ass in front of a train. And as he's falling to his death, God's like, "Sup, bitch," and, uh-huh. And force reincarnates him as a little girl in World War One.
Yeah.
Except this World War One has magic and bullshit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just fucking weird. And like the light novels are based off of are apparently like just hardcore Miltaku talking about military gear and the uniforms and shit. It's just wankery. Mm-hmm. But like, so they had to action up the show, and I just don't like it that much. And there's really not a ton of other great stuff right now that I'm watching.
Stop watching it, then.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like previous season, we're like watching 6-7 shows, and it's like, all right, we got a full day of shit. Now it's just like, well, we watched the 3 good shows, and I guess we'll watch this 4th. And it's like, well, we're done. All right. Well.
Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, I'd stop watching it, but you know, I kind of started a whole podcast fandom and convention around it. And now I can't.
Oh shit! I started an anime podcast in a fandom convention. Oh god. Dean and Mary are gonna be real mad that I'm making a competing event. So there's that. What else? So Nintendo Switch comes out tomorrow. I really want one. Don't eat the carts, kids, for fuck's sake. Nobody should have to tell you that, but because they are really small, they put a bitterant on them.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, let me pull it up real quick because I mentioned it to Panther. It is Denatonium benzoate. It is the most bitter thing known to man, the most bitterest chemical compound we know. And basically, they're because Switch carts are like the size of your thumbnail, dumb kids could eat them very easily. And mm-hmm. so they made them super nasty bitter so that your kids should probably vomit it out before they swallow it because they're stupid and or 3.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. I really would like a Switch with Zelda because I literally watched the 100-minute long quick look, I say with quotation marks.
Check out Saverin's Amazon wish list at this address.
Yeah, I'll put my Amazon wish list on this. A Nintendo Switch and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Yeah, just, you know, if somebody wants to buy it for me, I don't think any of y'all do. other than that, let's see. A couple more quick bits, and then we got emails. So they're not on the movie side of things. You've got all these cool movies and shit coming out. There's that Spark movie with the monkey and the fox and all that stuff.
Right,
that looks
yeah.
kind of weird. The what was that other? Rock Dog's out, and it's super furry. Mm. And in other furry movie news, apparently Hasbro isn't going to put out the MLP movie trailer until July, when the movie comes out in October. So everyone's kind of like, well, mm-hmm. so much for that.
Yeah.
Cancel hopes right now.
I mean, did it just not have an advertising budget?
I just don't know.
I mean, fuck, how long have we seen Guardians of the Galaxy trailers and it comes out in May?
Well, like, when fucking Finding Nemo
mm-hmm.
finished out, they teased the sequel
mm-hmm.
with Dory. Like, that was how many years before they actually got around to making it?
Probably 3 or 4, based on how often those animated movies
like
come
Zootopia
out.
Like, Zootopia was like a year in advance.
Oh, yeah, we first saw those fucking watercolor conceptual paintings like over a year ahead of time.
Like, there's toy information, like the toy fair they posted, hey, check it out, there's
because their bread and butter is still
it's a toy
the toys
company, but you still need to have a little bit of like, hey, put the stuff out there, what's the movie gonna be about? Like, okay, we know there's a cat with no pants, we know there's a bird lady with you know, a peg leg.
Twilight's going to have to find everybody's pants.
You know.
No one will have pants.
They turn into sea ponies for some section of
and
the
movie. And they kidnapped Rarity so that they can't make more pants.
Oh, no. Like, there's a edgy black and red OC with a broken horn. Like, it doesn't look great just if you're, like, looking at it and going, why is there a cat? Okay, so there's Anthro Cat and Anthro Bird and a broken horn red and black OC that has a jet.
What?
Yeah, There's a magical jet where, like, the evil unicorn flies it, apparently.
Why the fuck is there a jet and in Battle like, of Pony? And crossing over with Transformers? It's Starscream?
Then there's, like, Bunga's crackhead brother being, like, the comedic relief sidekick.
Don't they know unicorn horns can't melt steel beams?
Oh, man. It's one of those things where it's like, hopes.exe have been deleted. Like, we're just gonna... It'll happen. We're just gonna let it happen.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, also, on other things, on things that you like, Fuzz, hey, yes. Catherine Tate's coming to the U.S. for her first comic show.
Yep.
Fan Expo Dallas this coming summer, woo! I guess.
Yep. I forget exactly when it is. Karen Gillan, a.k.a. Amy, and Alex Kingston, a.k.a. River Song, are also going to be there. So the show is going to have three Doctor Who companions. And, of course, Catherine Tate, Donna, this is her first U.S. con appearance, so that's a big deal. I haven't met any of those people, so I might have to go and get my picture and drag Fez and Rory along.
Nice. So
that'd be fun.
Those are definitely up your alley.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, I saw something really creepy the other day at Walmart.
Oh.
Yes. So the Internet of Things. So you know the little home security cameras that you can buy, right?
Yeah.
For watching your dog or making sure people aren't kicking in your front door and yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, it was combined with Minions. So it is a security camera you put up on a shelf, whatever, watch your kids, watch your dogs, watch your door, whatever, except it's a fucking Minion, and the camera lens is the eye of the fucking Minion.
Yeah, Savage showed me a picture, and they're super fucking creepy looking.
Yeah, because they have the big smile.
Yeah, it's like, no. speaking of Internet of Things.
and Panther helpfully adds, in IoT, the S stands for security. You'll note there is no S.
God, yeah. So speaking of which, the other thing that's been going around Twitter that I stumbled upon is there's now an internet-capable it says condom. It's actually not. It's actually like a cock ring, apparently.
Okay.
Because, I mean, condoms you just throw away. So
yeah, like you want a cyber condom, and like those condoms aren't cheap by themselves.
Yeah.
Like a 12-pack, no.
It claims to be a condom. One of the other tweets like said it's actually a ring, but it measures like your thrust speed. It keeps track of your stats and how often you're having sex and how many calories you have burned having sex. And you can apparently compare. So, like, some of the tweets I saw were like, stats have gone too far. And
gamification of fucking.
I hope there's a leaderboard.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Someone hooked their cock ring up to a paint mixer. I'm going to get the high score, motherfuckers.
So, and I saw one tweet from a local fur said, I sure hope they're not powered by the same batteries that are in the Samsung Galaxy.
It just explodes, just takes your dick off.
Blow your dick off. Jeez. Not good. Not good. And one other comment I saw, and it was, they missed an opportunity by not calling it a dick bit.
Nice. Going back to the title of this week's episode.
All right, yeah.
This is what the future liberals want. So the genesis of this idea, I'm sure you guys have no doubt seen it because we retweeted it from the podcast account and retweeted it from personal accounts. We've just been having fun with it.
Mm.
Was an image from Poll, which is 4chan's like darkest cesspit asshole of bullshit. Like these are the fuckers that helped get Trump with their meme magic and shit.
Oh, Saren, tell us how you really feel.
They're fucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they posted an image on Twitter. It was a woman in full niqab. So they had the full face full face veil. They had meat other face. It was
a Muslim. That's Lady Gaga as the full face veil.
Yes. So a Muslim woman in full face garb, like isolates and all that stuff, and sitting to the person's right.
Left.
Or left. Is a person in full-time day drag, daytime drag, like big wig, big shoes, big hair, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they on public transit.
Yeah.
And so they captioned it, "This is the future liberals want."
And of course, liberals saw it and are like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not actually seeing a problem with this. Like,
they're two people wearing what they want or not, and not being bothered on public transit that's well-funded enough for it to exist. Yes, this is fine.
Yeah.
And so people have had a huge amount of fun with it. Mm-hmm. The one we retweeted from the podcast account, of course, obviously was the nudist colony scene from Zootopia.
Yes.
It's like, this is the future liberals want.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I posted a picture of Shepard and Liara kissing from Mass Effect 2. Femship with Jennifer Hale. None of this male Shepard bullshit. Femship all the way. Then like pictures of
you're
Star Trek.
You're such a raging lesbian.
No, I just really like Jennifer Hale's voice acting.
Oh, okay.
Over the male voice actor's thing.
Isn't a male voice actor Kiefer Sutherland?
No.
He played somebody in something.
He was like Snake in Metal Gear Solid 5.
That's what it was. Okay.
Play that.
All right.
But there's been a lot of fun. It's like, this is what this is the future liberals want. And just it just keeps going. Let's see what else. Oh, Vermi points out that Dallas Fan Expo also has Adam West and Tim Curry.
Oh, okay. It's that same event. Yeah. Actually, they're having a whole Rocky Horror Picture Show reunion. Tim Curry, Meatloaf. I don't know if Barry Boswick is there. I don't know if he's still alive, actually. He might be. But most of the living cast are going to be
That's
there.
That's pretty cool.
So, you know, some people that are like really big Rocky Horror fans. And Tim Curry doesn't do a lot of cons, and especially
since
not
he had his stroke.
Since his stroke. I guess he's recovering at least. Now he's the only signing he's doing is apparently he's going to be signing stuff in advance. So he doesn't have to like do it kind of on the spot like that. So I'm assuming that maybe that's a little slow now. But, yep. You know, I hope he's getting better.
Yeah, because he's well-known voice and actor, too. I mean,
yeah.
It's one of those. 2016 didn't get him, but he tried.
If I went, like, I'm not a real big Rocky Horror fan, but if I went, I'd get, like, my Clue DVD signed.
Yeah. Well, okay. Also, as a reminder, Furry Fiesta's pre-reg ends in, like, 5 days from this recording, so, like, 3 days by the time everybody hears this.
Mm.
So if you're going to Fiesta and don't want to wait in line at the door to pay, you're still going to have to wait at line and door to pick up. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, do it now!
And get super sponsor and stuff. Yes.
Do it now. All right, so that plows us through the list of topics that I typed up on my phone. So we are going to stop and save, and we've got about a half dozen emails, so we're going to hit those up next.
Okay.
BRB. Like, I like doing this.
Right,
Even if really nobody was listening, I would still want to do, like, a show just to talk shit.
Yeah, like, right? If we weren't doing this, I'd probably have to do another type of show as well. Because I'd probably enjoy having one less commitment in my life for a little while. And then
you'd be like, what the fuck am I going to do with my evenings?
Yeah.
So, and we're back.
Hi, everybody.
So, you can always email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can always send us anon asks via our Tumblr at notcast.com. So this week we have a half dozen, which is nice. Let's see. Whoops. Okay, so we have several anons, one person on that. Okay, so, well, a couple of you people I can actually send things to. A couple I can't. So we're just going to start us out. I will start at the bottom from email titled, "It's Been a While."
It's been a while.
Yeah, you beat me to it. Hey, guys. TJ here. I've been away for a while, and I forget how much I miss listening to y'all. About 3 years ago, around episode 235, I had the unfortunate occurrence of washing my iPod Classic, and it was toast. And since I don't usually just sit at my computer and derp on iTunes, I fell quite a bit behind. But somehow, in September, I stumbled upon a podcasting app, and now I'm trying to catch up. Ish. The biggest change I noticed in the latest episodes is that the emails have slowed. Based on last week's episode where y'all were offering game codes for emails, does that mean they haven't come in as much as they used to? If so, any guesses to why? Looking forward to participating more with the casters here more in the future. TJ Mind.
So,
well,
did we really offer game codes for emails?
Yeah, I bought the Humble Indie Bundle, or no, Humble right. Freedom Bundle. Is like, yo, this is like 30 goddamn codes, and I've got a shitload of codes just sitting in my account.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, yo, if you get an good email, I'll send you a code for something.
Okay.
And yeah, it's straight up honest. When you've done a show for 341 episodes, let's say 342, mm-hmm. people have asked most of the questions, and our show has evolved from being purely a advice-based show to mm-hmm. Fuzz and Saverin and occasionally Shiva, when she's not in crunch time, sit around and bullshit about furry stuff and things going on in our lives. We are a furry show in as much that we are furries who do a show. And we want to talk about things that happen in the fandom. We talk about the books we're reading and working on and all these new excited art. And like, holy shit, did you see that brand new peak? That pic of the bird dude from Legend of Zelda that Sampikos did. Yeah. Got a nice dick.
Oh, okay.
Except they drew him way more twinkie than he is in the game. But So like, we're still mega furries, but like, we are just more of a general interest show. I mean, we totally answer emails, but, and like saying, hey, we'll give you something if you write a good email, that's incentivizing.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, yeah, we're also getting more Tumblr asks than we...
Yeah, we're getting lots of Tumblr asks. To,
which is nice, because they're kind of short little things.
And, you know, if people don't want to attach their name to an email, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just another avenue for someone to ask a question anonymously and for us to get answer in a very frank manner. Because, hey, it's not like, oh, I recognize that name. I've seen that person. No, it's just a non-asked thing, and we can give a very straightforward
answer. Oh, I recognize that name. They've ordered dirty porn for
me. It's like, oh, yes, this person is one of my biggest consumer of inflation muscle fetish.
You wrote it about your erectile dysfunction, so I'm going to put a little extra in for you.
They've bought 45 copies of Meteor Showers.
In case they want to read it more than once.
Yep. So... basically, I'm good to hear you're catching up, and you found an app for your podcast phone listening. But, you know, it's just basically the relative maturity of the show being it's old, not that the show is mature.
Lol.
Plus, people have asked a lot of questions at this point. And
yeah.
If you're listening, you know, you're listening just as much for Fuzz and I's antics and opinions, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Or at least you're sitting there listening and going, writing down all the things. God damn it, Saverin was wrong here. And soon you will write an email detailing us how we were wrong. And we'll take a look at it and be like, we might read this. Saverin, you are wrong because you said spam is acceptable when fried. You are wrong.
Saverin, you're a fennec cuck. No.
So...
okay, so this one is a Tumblr ask. Notcasters, and I can answer this question too.
Yay.
Do y'all know of any Yelp-style resource for commissioners of furry artists? I've had some damn good experiences with some artists I'd be down to share who have been great about turnaround times, communication, and general customer service. But I have to admit, I've had bad experiences with some artists that I wished I'd had some forewarning about. If you don't know of such a resource, would a Fur Affinity page dedicated to that information be a good idea? So, a couple of things. The most well-known one is on LiveJournal. It's a community called Artists Beware.
I think there's a Reddit community for that, too. So that's
artists_beware.livejournal.com. And that's been running for a long time, probably like 10 years by now. And a lot of artists know about that. You'll see bad commissioner stories shared there, too. And like,
so, there's not a Reddit one, but there's one called Artistic Conservatism.
Oh, God.
Which sounds really stupid.
Mm. And, like, once a month on the Artist Beware site, they feature recommended artist posts.
There are three posts, one of which was posted 13... the most recent of which was posted 13 days ago. Uh-huh. No comments, no votes, one view. So, needless to say, there are about as many artist conservatives as...
furries.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd like to address is starting a page for that on Fur Affinity. Would that be a good idea? Absolutely not.
No.
You would get banned so fucking fast if you did that, because one of FA's rules is no call out journals. So like, you can't even make a journal about your shitty ex who stole your Nintendo or something like that if you name their name. then then they'll delete your journal and probably suspend your account for a period of time. So a community based on that would go specifically against their rules. If the Artist Beware site is not still active, then maybe, like Savin said, maybe start a subreddit on it or somewhere else.
Or look around on other art sites. Because, I mean, it's real simple. Like, it's one thing with an artist, like, if it's an artist is shitty and, like, takes forever and they're rude about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people need to know about that. But, like, oh, they didn't make sure that my markings were 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't color my angel wing and my demon wing correctly. They inverted the colors, you know. But, yeah.
Not every vein was beautifully detailed in my penis.
Yep.
Do you want to read Spacefaring Shows?
Yep. So, this one is titled Spacefaring Shows. After listening to episode 340, I wanted to bring up Knights of Cydonia. It's an anime where the whole society is transported. It takes in the fact that as you get closer to the surface, there is less gravity, and everyone has these belts for mass deceleration. Savin has probably seen this and can explain it to Fuzz better. I just really love the space talk that gets included with everything else you guys talk about. As always, love one another. Your kitty cat from Eastern Washington State, Running Cat. So, Knights of Cydonia is actually a Netflix original show. It's not a Netflix original. It's a Netflix exclusive anime.
Oh, okay.
But I'm pretty sure it was partially co-prod, co-production, kind of like how they covered the localization of Seven Deadly Sins and got it a second season, which is kind of fucking crazy when you think about it. An American, like Netflix, like, I don't know if Seven Deadly Sins actually sold well enough in Japan to get a second season, but I know they have a second season, and it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So that really makes me wonder just how fucking powerful Netflix is nowadays.
That, like, they can, maybe the Netflix audience of that show was big enough.
Sufficiently big enough for them to do a second season of it. Like, James and I watched the first few episodes and were like, this is dumb. And we didn't like the main character.
Is this the Cydonia one or the other?
No, Seven Deadly Sins.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because it was like, oh, it's this dark and gritty fantasy world, but all the main characters are like fucking superhero-looking motherfuckers in a world of knights and bullshit. Now there's weird body proportions, kind of like, One Piece.
Mm.
But Knights of Cydonia. I'm going to look that up because I'm pretty sure it, yeah. It's a mecha manga series by Tsumo Nihei. Da, 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 da. So it actually ran from 2009 to 2015 in 15 volumes, and the licensor for American streaming is Netflix. Has 12 episodes for its first season and aired in 2014. So there is that.
Cool.
It is not a show that I have watched, but a second season aired. Oh. So the first season came out and they actually had a second season, and it's available on Netflix and all territories is ongoing. It did pretty decently, but it's a mecha series, but it's a space anime.
Cool.
I hadn't watched it though, but oh man, The Expanse. It's fucking cool.
I've been keeping up with
it. I'm 1 week behind, so I haven't seen the episode that aired this Wednesday. Actually, no, shit, I'm 2 weeks behind now because last week... The most recent thing I saw,
Well, I don't think they've dropped the new one on iTunes yet.
Okay. Well, the last thing I saw was Eros Dodged.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Panther says 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. where Eros Dodged.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, because I had read the synopsis on for the books on. Mm-hmm. On Wikipedia, and was like, okay, I had a general idea of what's going to happen. I'm like, that's not what I expected. Oh shit! Because like the character that's sitting on the rock is like, guys,
what just happened?
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Yep.
So that's really cool.
I bought the first book. Did I mention that in the show?
No.
Before? I bought the first book, Leviathan Wakes.
Yeah.
Of the
James S.A. Comey is the pen name of the two writers.
Yep. So I will probably read that at some point. It's on my shelf now. I don't know when I'll get to it, but I really enjoyed the show. And I'd kind of like to have like more in-depth knowledge of like the characters and the universe and stuff, because we talked about this before, but fuck, I love the world building. It's great.
Yeah.
So I'd like to check out the books.
And to bring about the space bullshit,
yeah.
In Elite Dangerous 2.3, they're adding asteroid bases.
Oh, cool.
So, like, you can bring water and fish to the Belters.
Nice.
And I'm just like, oh, that's fucking cool. Because basically, previously, there'd only been two or three types of stations, really. Yeah. There's the 20-sided one, which rotates the whole thing. Then there's the ring type,
okay,
which are more traditional to, like, the 70s space station design that rotates for artificial gravity. And
yeah, like in the 2001 movie.
Yeah. But this time they're adding asteroid ones.
Nice.
I'm like, fucking cool.
Sweet.
And because it's just like, we built a station into this giant-ass asteroid moon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be neat. Also, they're adding TRAPPIST-1 to 2.3.
Yeah.
Basically, they're like, we looked at, they did a little bit more digging, and they are like, well, we found a star system that is more or less dead on where it was.
Mm.
It already had seven stellar bodies, but the star was a brown dwarf. So we just kick it up a notch. It basically goes one stellar mass up to become a red dwarf, and they kind of shift the orbits of the planets a little bit, and they're going to rename it TRAPPIST-1.
I love the reaction picture of Admiral Akbar.
Yeah.
But it's like TRAPPIST, and it's like a close-up on his eyes. I like the suggestion someone had of naming all seven the planets. No, I didn't see that, actually. That's not a bad idea. Though the other one I saw was naming all seven worlds after Star Wars worlds. So they had, like, Coruscant and stuff like that. Dagobah, I think next one's mine, right?
Yep.
Okay, so... Hello, Nutcast. I have been listening to the very first episodes of your show, and I have a question. In one of the episodes, you mentioned that you had released your podcast in stereo, as well as a special edition DVD, which included some lost episodes. Do you still have that content for sale or posted somewhere? It would be nice to explore some extra content related to one of my favorite podcasts. On a closely related note, do you have any modern bonus content I could peruse? Thanks.
So,
We don't have any more of the DVDs for sale.
No, I think very technically you may have a couple lurking in the production room somewhere, but maybe. We don't exactly have them around.
Yeah.
It was like the first 20 episodes of the show plus like episode zero, but I'm
and other little outtakes.
Yeah,
and stuff,
but the thing is, nowadays we don't have that really. Like part of the rawness of the original series and having the bonus fuck up content was us being new to the game and not having the beat down and not doing the stuff. So, like, when it comes to the episode recording period session, like, there's very little that Fuzz and I actually would ever cut out. We don't actually cut out segments of the show. The most we do is, like, the part before we have the cold open. Like, it's like a section right before the cold open, which is just us talking for the distance of me hitting record and walking to the chair and sitting down, and then the same for sitting down
after the break,
stopping and saving.
And you cut out maybe some ums and ahs, or if there's a long silence
and cutting out the silences. There's really not a lot of bonus content. Like, maybe, you know, if our Patreon hits $10,000 a month, we could totally do a global tour. But until it does that, I'm afraid there's not going to be a huge amount of extra content. The Patreon exists as an alternative for buying dongs. If you do want to support the Patreon, patreon.com/notcast.
God.
we're actually like close to 90 bucks and up, which is nice.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I hadn't looked at it in a while.
Yeah. We had somebody we had a few more people show up and they gave like $2-3.
Cool.
So I don't know there are probably people that are like limited to a maximum per month, but still it looks nice on the Patreon. We're over the $75 threshold, so that's nice.
Nice.
Let's see. Anon asked a question. Why do people always lump water sports and scat? These kinks are not the same thing. It's like lumping France and Russia together because they're both in Europe. One is way more dangerous than the other, and people often visit the first and never the last.
Isn't Russia technically Asia? Is it?
Very technically.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people consider it largely, like, there's chunks that are, quote, Europe. Like, the western edge of it, but the vast majority of it covers the entire north of Asia where nobody fucking goes.
But that's not important.
But that's neither here nor there.
So they're both human waste related fetishes.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people
lump it together. It's bathroom shit.
Yeah. Bathroom play related stuff. And yeah, I know like not all baby furs are into messing the diapers, and even some that are, there are some that only do the water part and aren't into the pooping. It's like this really small subset that's into the pooping. So yeah, I know they don't always overlap, but they're human waste related fetishes. So yeah, they are going to be lumped in the same kind of general area.
Like, does it go in the toilet? They're going to get lumped together. Lol. Like, I mean, there is a very big difference between the two.
Yeah.
Like, you know, properly, you know, water sports is fairly safe, especially if you're hydrated. You're not going to stain the shit out of stuff. I mean, whatever floats your fucking boat. I don't like it, and I sure as fuck don't like scat. And
that's like, not true. I know you love floating your boat on a river of piss.
No, I don't. Like, it is totally not my thing, but yeah, there is a difference between the two. But I will refrain from participating in either.
Yeah.
But no, they are totally different things. One is far safer than the other, and that's that.
Yeah.
Because piss is sterile when it comes out. Poop isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that. This last one's you.
Oh, boy. Okay. I don't support Trump, but I don't buy the narrative that everyone who voted for him was a bigot. Here in Michigan, I knew many voters who chose Trump not for social reasons, but because they were stupid. Oh, wait, no, sorry, because Clinton ignored their economic woes. We need to love and tolerate... Sorry, the Mild Pony reference.
That literally is what it says.
Yeah, we need to love and tolerate these voters and vocally, not physically, decry the crazies. Just an alternative perspective from a gay with working class friends and a rugged factory worker ex. They're not all deplorables. Love the podcast and respect your politics.
Well, the thing is, like, the whole economic thing, Michigan's decline is primarily linked to manufacturing jobs which moved overseas. And those jobs aren't coming back.
And automation. Which, I mean, they've been dead for 50 years.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, he blew smoke up their ass and they believed it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those folks may not be bigoted, but they got taken for a ride. And, you know...
A lot of those people are going to be losing their health care if they repeal Obamacare, ACA.
Like, they voted against their own self-interest in a really bad way. They got duped. They're going to end up more fucked over. Like, those jobs aren't coming back because you're talking about, I mean, yeah, some may bring back jobs that were overseas, but that's not really the problem in, like, Michigan and Ohio. You know, that's like, that kind of work is just not done anymore. You know, it's like bringing back the buggy whip salesman. You know, that's not a job that's viable in 21st century America.
And, you know, it's one of those things where I bet if you talk to a lot of these people and it's like, well, how do you feel about losing your health insurance? And we're like, well, I didn't know. And a lot of these people, like, I didn't know that the Affordable Care Act was, I thought they were just going to repeal Obamacare, not the Affordable Care Act.
It, and that's one. And another one is, well, he said that, but I didn't think he'd do it.
Yeah.
You know, which is what the people literally said to Bernie Sanders when he went and asked, like, you guys supported me in the primary. Why the fuck would you vote for Trump? And they're like, well, because of this and this and this. And he pointed out that, well, they're going to appeal the Affordable Care Act. And, like, we didn't really think he'd do it. And Sanders' response was, well, then you supported a liar and you said you knew he was lying. Like, so why would you do that?
Yeah.
Basically, you know, like, you know, Hillary may not have been perfect, and it's such a stupid high bar to expect any candidate to be perfect because everyone's going to have their flaws and stuff like that. But holy fuck. I mean, she wasn't just flat out telling you what you wanted to hear and ignoring all the problems. We're going to She wasn't just going to say, we're going to fucking fix everything. It'll be magical. I'll take care of it. You know, she was more like, no, we gotta fucking work at it. We have problems, but we can overcome them. And shit is not that bad. And whereas Trump was like, America's in the pits and I'm going to make it great. And just, well, I mean, this guy's not a Trump supporter, so that's fine. I'm just saying, okay, I can kind of see bigotry not being the number one reason to vote for Trump, but that leaves a lot of unflattering reasons also. You know, not the bigotry is a flattering reason, but it's like bigotry or stupidity are kind of like your choices. Or
just willful ignorance to the reality of the world. Like, manufacturing isn't a thing as much anymore. They're not going to bring the auto factories back to Detroit. Like, shit's all made overseas or in Mexico.
You know, it doesn't, it's also, it doesn't take 50 people to paint a car anymore. It takes one guy pressing a button.
Yeah,
you know.
And the robots do it.
Yeah, it's the people that are maintaining the machines that have the job.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe that job is still there, but you're talking about one guy being employed instead of a dozen or 50 or however many people it takes.
Or, like, you know, the air conditioning manufacturing thing that they tried to tout. It's like the Carrier's keeping 500 jobs in Indiana, but they're shipping like 1,500 to Mexico.
Mm.
You know. They got to be like, oh, this job deal is saving American jobs. And it's like, no, it's not. It kept a quarter of them or whatever. Yeah.
And, like, that was a decision that they had actually made, like, months before it was announced and stuff. So,
like,
let's not go down this road. Yeah, it's just like, not the writer,
but it's just like, you know, yeah, there was lots of reasons beyond them just being bigots, but none of them are flattering. And they're going to be hurt just as much as everybody else in this situation. So there's no satisfaction to be had. We're all in this shitty boat together. But those of us who are actually decently
floating that boat
are decently, decently well off fags will probably do better than these working class stiffs because, you know, at least you've got slightly better incomes and weren't, you know, manufacturing jobs. That's just like, yeah, the people that are going to get hurt are the poorest among us.
Yeah, right? And, you
black,
know,
white, brown, doesn't matter.
I don't agree with everything that Bill Maher says and does, but, you know, something he has a really good point on is whenever he has Republicans on the show and they're talking about jobs, they always talk about how liberals want to take people's jobs away in West Virginia, which is like big coal mining country. And, you know, Bill's point is those jobs should go away. You know, coal is should be obsolete. You know, we want to move to these new technologies, but like those are like the worst fucking jobs you can have. Like people dropping dead of lung issues, cave-ins, safety issues, mining companies cutting corners. Like we need to find people there better lines of work, the healthier and less unsafe places to work than in a fucking coal mine. Anyway, so, politics. Let's get off that.
Huh?
What?
So, oh, just
share the news with me, Saffron.
Oh, just one of those things where it's like someone asking me questions about my staff for Fiesta. So, those of you listening, if you're attending Fiesta, I will be needing volunteers for the game room because the people don't really want to stick around and help in the gaming department year to year because it is pretty boring work. It's making sure people don't steal your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so people help me like 1-2 years and they fuck off or they don't sign up, but they show up and volunteer. I think I have maybe like one person, I have two people under my staff with me this year that that'd probably be all right. But volunteers will always be helpful. So I don't have to spend, you know, 36 hours across the entire convention in that room listening to people play video games.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to wrap for this one. It's 10 o'clock. We managed
oh my God.
A show in just a little bit over an hour, even with this full list. But Fuzz, you're saying, oh my God.
I have news that just broke an hour ago. Actor Sir Patrick Stewart applies for U.S. citizenship to fight Trump.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, okay.
That's cool.
Awesome.
nice. So... Breath of the Wild looks like Nintendo being like, here's our twink. Just fuck him up. The number of ways you can wreck this twink utterly seems like unparalleled by any previous offering in the series.
What is this?
So in Breath of the Wild, you can, first of all, you can die like fucking easy. Like if you go to the wrong neighborhood, you'll get killed right just like one hit. You can get shocked off your horse and fall down a hill and die. Uh-huh. Like you can die and you will die a lot. And you can also dress him up in various outfits and or strip him down to his boxer shorts and make him run around on the mountaintop.
Is he a twink?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like he's pretty hot. And one of the costumes you get is when you're going into the Gerudo area, which they're a desert race of people in this desert southwest of the main area. Uh-huh. And you have to infiltrate it. And so he gets a like harem girl outfit and has to wear it during the whole scene. And you keep this after the war. So you can run around after that point in the game as like a harem girl Link.
Oh, this is Link from Legend of Zelda?
Yeah.
I thought you said it was something else.
No, it's the new Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh, okay. All right, Breath of the Wild.
Like, gotcha. You costume change a whole fuckload, and you can totally run around. I'll show you a pic. You'll probably dig it, Fuzz.
Okay.
So, anyways, we're going to wrap this up here because it is past 10 o'clock, and Fuzz is going to turn into a pumpkin at any point now. And we still plowed through that episode really quick, even though we had a list of things. So, we did a good job. It turns out having notes... having a flow list for your show works out pretty well, huh? Instead of thinking, oh, what did I want to talk about? So, as always, you can email us, notcast@foxzephyrs.com. You can also go to our Tumblr, notcast.com. It redirects you there. You can send us non-questions there. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/notcast. Every little bit helps. Buck an episode, buck a month, doesn't matter. We love you and all the same. Additionally, you can follow me on Twitter @SavrinDrake. You can find me on Twitch @Savrin. I've been doing a little bit of Life is Strange. Light in the Woods. I need to finish that up because I'm really enjoying it so far. It's a neat little slice of life story. Not a huge, like, mega video game kind of thing, but it's more of a empathy simulator and interpersonal relationship game. Mm-hmm. It's not a traditional video game.
It's more like a visual novel.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah. I'm enjoying it. And also YouTube channel, like I'm playing right now. I've got a few videos queued up from a game called Deep Rock Galactic, which is a combination of Left 4 Dead 2 and Minecraft ish, where you're a quartet of dwarves in dark caves mining for gold and MacGuffinite. And
right.
It's called Morkite in the game, but
whatever.
It's a game in alpha that I got a couple codes for. So me and James are playing it and. It's a real small – it's a European – it's based out of Denmark. So the Netherlands. They're not the same thing. Anyways, it's – they have .dk as their – it's ghostshipgames.dk if you want to look up their – look up Deep Rock Galactic. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's an early alpha. Like they just now got to the point where they added in the ability to join games in progress. So like it's still rough, but it's pretty fun when it's not – crashing occasionally. It's peer-to-peer, so if the host crashes, it takes everybody out. They hold the game ends. It sucks. Because we had that happen where, like, I'd gotten killed at the, like, right near the end of the match, and we were all trying to escape, and I died, and the game crashed, and just boop! Everybody, the game crashed for everybody else. But it's cool. It's an early alpha. What can you do? Fuzz, where can they find you?
On Twitter, I'm @FuzzWolf. And I have companies at forplanet.com, which is @forplanet on Twitter. Baddogbooks.com is our ebook website, @baddogbooks on Twitter. And that's about it. Fiesta in 3 weeks. Woo! Pre-reg for Fiesta. @furryfiesta on Twitter.
Yep.
For all the latest news. I am happy that there are 25 writing panels on the schedule this year, which is a pretty nice bump. And here's the thing. Every year at Furry Fiesta, the scheduling coordinator walks around the panels and he makes a tally of how many people are in each panel at that point. Just kind of keep an idea of which panels are doing well, which aren't, which ones are bursting at the seams and need a bigger room next year, things like that. But I'd love to see a good turnout for all the writing panels this year because I would love to push for Fiesta to have a really strong writing presence, especially since we don't have Rainforest leading the way with 40 to 45 panels in writing anymore. You know, 25 is a real good start. If they do well, maybe the writing track head can push for more next year. And just, you know, being a publisher, just being a local con, I'd like it to be really strong in the writing side of things. I'm happy there's a lot of writers coming to the con this year, so that's good. So we'll have writers at our table off and on throughout the weekend so you can get some books signed and everything. But that's about it. I guess we'll still be recording for the next couple of weeks here. Yep. And be basically taking a break the week of Fiesta, sure.
Yeah, we get Fiesta because that we record on Thursdays. Thursdays is set up, and we won't be recording. We'll be going, get the tables, get the video game set up.
Yep.
I've got to get to the phase of make sure all my shit's still working.
Yeah.
And really thinking hard and long about, do I want to get a Switch?
Mm.
You know, I can't wait for the Nintendo sub.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so on that note, good night.
And ooh. Switch.
Bye.
And big balls.